At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's the dictionary.
Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. It is the podcast that I have created from my own creepy brain. It's an audio podcast. It's also a video podcast, which you can watch on YouTube. So you can see myself, see the things that I do with my hands. Woo! All right. The first word. We're jumping right into it. The first word is tagging on to all of the fruity things that we've had in the last couple episodes. It's the word fructicose. I think I added a sound. It's fruticose, not fructicose. This one is fruticose. fruticose. This one is an adjective from 1882. It is having a shrubby, often branched thallus that grows perpendicular to the substrate. The example is fruticose lichens, lichens. And it says to compare to crustose, which I vaguely remember, and also foliose. And I think that we should look back real quick at foliose to see if we can compare, look at what's the difference between the two of these. All right, so let's see. We're not going to go all the way back to crustose because I think that is a silly word. Okay, here, foliose, having a flat, thin, and usually lobed thallus attached to the substratum. The example was foliose lichens, just like in this one, fruticose lichens. So what's the difference? Fruticose has a shrubby, often branched thallus, so it's less flat, and it grows perpendicular to the substrate. So the thing that the lichens are attached to, it's growing out from that instead of like across it parallel. Fruticose. Well, where does this word come from? This is not related to the fruit words that I thought it might be. This is from the Latin frutex, which means shrub, so it probably has a shrubby shape. I mean, the word shrubby was even in the definition, so it's got a shrubby thing. Those lichens are like little tiny shrubs, and so they are fruticose. All right, and then crustose. You know, I'm just going to assume it's just crusty. Those lichens are so very crusty. Oh, it is sound effect time. Oh, and we got a lot of entries in this episode. So the sound effect is going to be tss, because it's related to some of our words, kind of. All right, the next word is FRWY. It is an abbreviation, of course, because those are just letters. It's not a word. Fruy, that's how I would say it, fruy. It's an abbreviation for freeway, the place that you drive that you don't have to pay any money. You just go, pew, and you're like, it's free. I'm going on my way, ma. All right, next. Here we go. It's fry, F-R-Y. When you throw some potatoes in some very, very hot oil, it goes, pss, or maybe it goes, I don't know, that's a bubbly sound. That one didn't make sense. All right, this first form of fry is a verb from the 13th century. We are starting with transitive. Number one, to cook in a pan or on a griddle, overheat, especially with the use of fat. Well, I don't think you can cook things over cold, although I think there are some contexts where some cold might burn something. But you're cooking it over heat, and you're probably using fat to fry it. You put some fat, I don't know, congealed fat, solid fat into the pan, onto the griddle, and you throw your food on top of that, and the fat makes it go and fry and get very tasty, but also so very bad for you. Your arteries are like, what are you doing to me? This hurts. But it tastes so good going down. All right. Number two for fry, the verb. This one is slang. I wonder why they decide to put these in this order. The synonym is the number one definition for electrocute. So when people get murdered by electrocution, well, I mean, I think, you know, in the chair, the electric chair, they're frying them because they're kind of literally being fried. I've heard stories, not directly, but I've heard people say that the smell in the electric chair room is really, really bad because these people are just being burned from the inside. And now that I have given you that wonderful image, let's go on to number three. To damage or destroy by overheating, especially as a result of unusually high voltage. And examples of this would be it's an electric device or its circuitry. So the electric device or its circuitry is getting damaged or destroyed because you are putting too much voltage into it and it can't handle it. And I think that also, back to the electric chair, the chair that is electric, you're putting an unusually high amount of voltage through the living thing that is connected to all the electricity, and then it gets destroyed. That's pretty much what happens. My TV got fried. When you go to another country, you have to be aware of what their voltage is in their wall unit power things. Because here in America, we have, what is it, like 110 or 120 volts? But when you go to Europe, it's 240 volts. It's twice as much. And so you need to, if you're going to plug something in, you got to check the little label on it and see if it's one of those devices that can auto-convert. But a lot of things don't auto-convert, so you need to put it into some sort of converter that will convert the power, or you need to get a new thing, like blow dryers and razors and whatever. You need to get a whole new thing that works over there. We bought a closed steamer that can, there's a little switch on it. It converts from basically American to most of the rest of the world. And so it knows, oh, I can now deal with twice as much power coming in. Otherwise, it's not enough. I was talking to somebody. They had come from Europe to Chicago, and they, you know, plug in their phone or plug in their computer, and they're like, why is it charging so slow? Oh, that's right, because I'm getting half the power that I'm used to. So the whole point of that story of all of this information is you don't want to fry your stuff. I think I accidentally fried an old clothes steamer or like a power strip, because when you plug it in Europe, it's getting too much power and then it gets fried. And the electric circuitry are like, yeah, we can't work anymore. All right. Now, we're going to intransitive for fry. Number one, to undergo frying. Number two, to get very hot or burn as if being fried. As if you are baking on a pan. The example there is bodies frying on the beach. Oh, their skin is frying. You gotta flip them over with a spatula. Once one side is done, you gotta fry the other side. Please put on your sunscreen. Please, please, please. If you get fried, your chances of getting skin cancer later in life just go way up. So put on that sunscreen because you don't want to fry. We've all been fried, and it hurts so bad. All right, getting very hot or burning as if being fried, cooking in fat or oil. This word is from the Latin frigere, which means to roast. It is akin to the Greek frigine. I don't know how Greek is. That also means to roast or fry. Also from the Sanskrit brijati, which means he roasts. So yeah, frying is all about roasting. Why? There was a... I just saw like a weird reflection on my eye, and I don't know, and then it went away. What happened on my eye? Did I have... Maybe it was a visual artifact in the video. I'll have to look back at that later. That was weird. All right, sound effect time. Too much of a P sound at the beginning there. Now we have the second form of fry, which is a noun from 1833. How can I not think of fry from Futurama? Oh, fry. Oh, fry. Give me your money. I love fry. All right. Number one for the noun of fry. A social gathering or picnic where food is fried and eaten. And the example is a fish fry. Now, I don't know of any other examples of this type of thing. I've heard of a fish fry many, many times because they're frying fish probably. But are there other types of fries? Are we going to go to a burger fry? A burger fry? The food is fried and then you eat it. I love that part of the example of the definition. It's a picnic or a gathering where food is fried and eaten. Yes, I think it is assumed that the food is eaten after it is fried. Let's go to what other kind of fry thing? A banana fry. I always go to the banana example because I got them there. Fried bananas. Is that a thing that we do? I mean, I think if you coat it in some dough or batter, you could fry up a banana. That sounds good. Let's go to a banana fry. Number 2A, a dish of something fried is a fry. The fried stuff might be one of my favorite foods. It's so very unhealthy, so I try to limit my fried food, but hey, what about this one, 2B? Good, this is a good one to limit, but it's oh so tasty. The synonym is French fry. I was talking about French fries, you know, a number of episodes ago. I think my question was, why French? And then later I realized it's because the potato, which then gets fried, the potato has been cut in a French style in skinny little strips. I think that's why it's French fry. Has nothing to do, or very little to do, with the country of France. I am not a fan of Freedom Fries. I don't like that name. I typically just say fries. Give me some fries. This person, please bring me some fries right away. This one is usually used in plural, as in a burger and fries. Let's go to a burger fry and eat some fries, or maybe burgers that are fried. We got some fries at dinner a couple of nights ago. We went to a vegan place and we each got a burger and I got fries with mine, and it was just too much food. So we took most of the fries home, and these fries, I'm going to shout it out, Allison Friends in Chicago and Glenview, they have really good fries. They're kind of seasoned. They're just tasty. And I always ask for my fries extra crispy because, you know, that's how I like them. And then we got dinner to go last night from a place, and we didn't realize that our entrees came with fries. Oh, my voice. Both of our entrees came with fries, and we were like, whoa, we have a lot of fries in the fridge right now. We've got one of them fry fridges. So we got a lot of fries to eat. All right, that's fry, and now it's the third form of fry. Noun from the 14th century. Number 1A, recently hatched, or juvenile fishes are called fries? Why is that? 1B, is the young of other animals. So wait, are you saying other animals because the first definition was about fish, and now this one is about other animals? So basically, can we just say the young of all animals are fries? Oh, look at them little fries jumping around, acting like potatoes. 2, is very small adult fishes. So all kinds of fishes can be fries. But if you're an adult, you have to be small to be called a fry. 3, members of a group or class. The synonym is individuals, as in small fries.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
That's the example. Small fries, small individuals, small people, small members of a group. Every one of them is a fry. If you're a part of a group, you're a fry. I really want some fries. Good thing I got fries at home I can eat. We're going to pop them in the air fryer. I said it before, and I'll say it again. Fries, in my book, my French fry book, they got to taste good on their own. You should not need to dip them in a sauce. If your fries are not tasty on their own, they are not worthy. You just toss them out. No, don't toss them out. We don't want waste. Somebody will eat them. But also, you know, potatoes, don't overdo it. Don't overdo it. All right, now, oh, wait, we got to talk about the etymology here because it's a little bit different. This is from the Anglo-French, friere, which means to rub or spawn. Well, we know, maybe the adult fries, the fish fries, not where you cook and eat the fish, the little adult fishes that are called fries, maybe they're rubbing together and they're making the babies and then they spawn. They're spawning, creating more. And then the things that are spawned are the little baby fishes, which we are calling fries. And then, of course, the babies, the youngs of all the other animals, those are also fries. All right. Next is fry bread. 2 words, noun from 1950. This is quick bread cooked by deep frying. And the example of who is doing this is American Indians. And I think I first learned about this from the show Reservoir Dogs, because there's a whole thing about fry bread. I think somebody had a song. Was it a hip-hop song about fry bread? And this is a whole thing, I guess, in the American Indian culture of this is what they like. They eat a lot of fry bread. I assume it's quick bread because it's cooked quickly, maybe, and it's deep fried. And it sounds so amazing. I would very much like some fry bread. Obviously, it's got to be vegan. I don't know what wouldn't be vegan. Should we look up what's the fry bread recipe? How are you cooking fry bread? What's going in there? What kind of bread are you using? These are the questions that I have. What do you do? I mean, obviously, you put it in a deep fried thing. Oh, it looks like there's different kinds. Well, the first one that comes up is Navajo fry bread. And let's see. The ingredients are, you need oil. You need flour, baking powder, salt. Oh, and yep, there's milk. So that's a very easy thing to replace. Now, I don't have the time or the energy to make my own, but maybe someday I will be in a situation where I can eat some vegan fry bread and I will be like, okay, listen, I want the whole basket, but I gotta limit myself because, again, the heart and the arteries probably aren't feeling great after that. But ooh, I would love some. Next is fryer. F-R-Y-E-R or F-R-I-E-R. Noun from 1851. This is something intended for or used in frying as a a young chicken. Oh, did you expect that? No, I did not. I've heard of it, though. So, something intended for frying, this would be the young chicken. I don't like the sound of that. I don't want to be killing and frying any chickens. Or it's something used in frying. This is the other example. And this brings us to letter B, which is a deep utensil for frying foods. Now, I don't know if I would have called that a utensil. I think of a utensil as a spoon or a fork or a knife or a spork. I guess technically, you know, we'll get to the use eventually and we'll learn all about utensils. But I would have thought it's a, what sort of word would I use there? An apparatus? What's that other word that I can't think of at the moment? You know, you got your fridge and you got your microwave, your appliance. Maybe it's an appliance, a deep appliance for frying foods. You need it deep because you got to submerge the thing. Maybe people are cooking a turkey. You need a whole big utensil, I guess, to fry your turkey. Yep, that's a fryer. You got to put stuff in the fryer if you want to have a burger fry. Ooh, burger made of fries? All right, now moving on to frying pan. Two words, noun, from the 14th century. It is a metal pan with a handle that is used for frying foods. It is called also fry pan. Not frying pan, just fry pan. Yes, they have a handle. If it didn't have a handle, how would you be able to move it around and get stuff out of it? Well, you use a spatula to get stuff out of it. But sometimes you want to pick it up, you want to spin it around, you want to do some fancy moves. You want to pick it up and walk around with it and say, here's some fry bread, here's some fry bread, straight out of the fry pan. Speaking of straight out of the fry pan, we have a phrase, out of the frying pan, into the fire. That is the phrase. The definition is, clear of one difficulty, only to fall into a greater one. Oh, we were cooking some fries on the frying pan, but then they came out of the frying pan and they fell into the fire and they got burned to a crisp, which is much worse. Now we can't eat our fries. We just wanted to eat some fries, and they jumped out and they fell into the fire. Yeah, that's a... It's a metaphorical thing about, ooh, we were in a bad situation, and now we're in a worse situation. A worse situation. All right, that's it for fry pan or frying pan, whichever one you like. We cook a lot of stuff in our frying pan. I guess the word frying, this is one of those things I think about. Like, typically I think of frying as being cooked in an oil or submerged in oil, or a fat, I guess, but it doesn't have to be submerged. It can just be cooked on top of it, just enough to get it going. Because, you know, we saw fry, it was being cooked on a griddle. That was one of the options somewhere in there. Yes, cooked in a pan, a fry pan, or a griddle. And that's how you cook stuff, on a frying pan or a griddle. Those are the only options. All right, moving on to fry up. This is two words with a hyphen. It is a noun from 1967, and it is British. The British people are talking about a fry up. What is a fry up? It is a dish or meal of fried food. Hey, let's have a fry up tonight. Let's just fry up all of our food and see how we feel afterwards. I had one of those meals. Didn't feel great. A little bit of fry food, moderation. It's fine. It's great. All right, that's a fry up. And now we are done with the FR words. And we are now going to go through a couple of more sections. We now have FS. It's an abbreviation for femtosecond, which is a very fast second. FS again, all caps, abbreviation for 1, film strip, 2, foreign service, Maybe the Foreign Service people have to watch a film strip about how to be a Foreign Service person. FSH, all caps. Abbreviation for follicle stimulating hormone. We need those hormones to stimulate our follicles because our follicles aren't growing hair, so we want to grow some hair. Why aren't the follicles on my nose growing hair? Well, when I get older, they might. Sometimes hairs just sprout out all over the place. Can't wait for my FSHs to make my follicles stimulated. Psst. FSLIC. All caps. FSLIC. This is an abbreviation for Federal Savings, plural, Federal Savings and Loan Insurance Corporation. FSLIC. FSLIC. Psst. FSO. All caps. Abbreviation for Foreign Service Officer. Psst. F stop. This is two words. It's the letter F, then a hyphen, then the word stop. F stop. Noun from 1946. Really? It wasn't before that? Maybe they were using a different term. So what is it? It's a camera lens aperture setting indicated by an F number. And we had F number way back earlier in the Fs where I was talking about, you know, it's a ratio of how open the aperture is, how much light it's letting in, and the rays come in, and then they hit the sensor, and, you know, when the aperture is wide open, it's a low F number, like F2, 2.8, 1, something like that. I guess F1 would be the easiest, because the ratio of, it's like the, I need a visual. It's how open it is in relation to the thing and the razors and the lasers and the rays. I don't know. I'll put a link in the show notes so you don't have to listen to me babble on about nonsense anymore. And then when the aperture is really, really tiny, it's not letting a lot of light in and information in, then you have a high F number, like 32. All right. Next, where are we? Frying up those F-stops. Now we have FT, abbreviation for 1, feet or foot, and 2, the synonym, or the word, the definition, what it's an abbreviation for is fort. Sometimes we can't spell fort, or feet or foot, so we just do FT. Sometimes we'll use FT again, but this time all caps, for number 1, Fourier transform. Number 2, free throw. And number 3, full time. Do you work half time or do you work full time? I work overtime. FTC, all caps, abbreviation for Federal Trade Commission. FTE, all caps, abbreviation for full time equivalent. And most of these, I got nothing to say about, because they're just abbreviations. FTH. This is not caps. It's an abbreviation for fathom. 20,000 FTHs under the sea. Or no, I think it was 20,000 leagues. What are fathoms? Are they also down in the water? I don't know. Now we have FT. That's the first word. LB is the second word. FTLB, abbreviation for foot pound. FT for foot, LB for pounds. Because I think it's from a Latin word, because otherwise I would want it to be PD. F2F. So the F's are capitalized, and the 2 is the number 2. It's an abbreviation for face to face. We're looking at each other face to face. Not really. I mean, unless I'm talking to the camera, then your face is facing my face and my face is your face facing your face, and we are F to F. FTP, all caps. This is a noun from 1986. It is a system for transferring computer files, especially via the internet. The fancy, fancy internet. FTP is also a transitive verb. Can you please FTP me some files? Put them on your FTP, and then I shall FTP them back over here and copy them down. This stands for File Transfer Protocol, which is, you know, it's a protocol for transferring files. Yeah, I mean, the little bit that I know is that you can have sort of a server that holds files, and you can put your files onto this FTP, and then if you give somebody else access, they can type in some letters and numbers on their URL and maybe a password, and then they can access those files on the FTP. F2 layer. Now, the F is capitalized. The 2 is a subscript 2 below, hanging out below the F. It's like a little creature hanging on to the foot. So, the F2 layer is a noun from 1933. This is the upper of the two layers into which the F region of the ionosphere...
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holidayinstall to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Splits in the daytime at varying heights from about 120 miles, 200 kilometers, to more than 300 miles, 500 kilometers, above the Earth. So yes, I mean, we've talked about this. We've seen other things, the F layer, the F1 layer, and other stuff. And so the F layer, there's two layers, and I guess they change. So the F2 layer specifically is 120 miles to 300 miles. I think that's what it is saying, and we are going to go check we're going to go all the way to F1 and see if we can compare the two. Here's F1 layer. Again, the one is subscript here. So this one is 80 miles above the Earth to 120 miles, and wouldn't you know it, the F2 layer starts at 120 miles and goes all the way up to 300 miles above the Earth. It's the second one, above the first one. All right, that's it for that one. Our next word is such a good word. It's fubsy. F-U-B-S-Y, fubsy. What is fubsy? It's an adjective from 1780. It is a chubby and somewhat squat. Oh, it's an adjective. You're describing a thing as fubsy, and that thing must be chubby and somewhat squat to be fubsy. The etymology says this is from the obsolete English word fubs, F-U-B-S, which is a chubby person. I can imagine people back in the day calling a chubby person, "Hey, fubs, what's going on, fubs?" Not nice. I mean, you know, people are people, and maybe we don't need to be doing any name calling. But, you know, because of that, we now have the word fubsy, which it's interesting that the word fubs isn't in this dictionary, but fubsy is. Fubsy has stuck around. I'd have never heard people use this. What I want to see is maybe a cat or a dog that is fubsy. I think that would be a very cute cat or dog. And I think if you have a chubby and somewhat squat dog or cat, I think you should name it Fubsy, because I think that would actually be a really good pet name. Then you can send me a picture of your Fubsy. All right, well, we are now moving on to the very last word in this episode. I will make a sound effect, and this likely, because I should be recording this tomorrow, likely we'll have a guest in this last section. And that brings us to our last word, and it also brings us to a guest who is joining me for the very end of this episode. Fuchsia, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I am great. I'm so pleased that you agreed to join me on this weird little thing that we're doing here. So Fuchsia, in the last word in this episode is Fuchsia, spelled a little bit differently. I don't know anybody else named Fuchsia. Have you ever met somebody named Fuchsia?
I have not met anybody named Fuchsia, but I will say that I remember in high school, there was someone older than me who had the same name. I never met her, but people kept on bringing her up. And like years ago on like Facebook, there was someone with the same name who was friending everybody with the same name. Like, yeah. they had a lot. They had a lot of Fuchsia friends.
They were excited to find other Fuchsias out there.
Yes, they were.
Yeah. Well, I'll quickly read you what the dictionary has to say about Fuchsia. Is it weird to hear your name so many times and say it so many times?
Not really.
Yeah, you say that now until the end of the episode. We'll see how many times I've
I'm like,
it.
Am I in trouble? Like,
no, right.
Are you going to say my full name?
Definitely not.
Okay.
So Fuchsia, the book spells it F-U-C-H-S-I-A, and I know you move the S to earlier in the word so maybe we'll talk about that.
Uh-huh.
But so this is a noun from 1789. There's two definitions. Number one is any of a genus, which is also Fuchsia, of ornamental shrubs of the evening primrose family, having showy, nodding flowers, usually in deep pinks, reds, and purples. Have you ever, I assume you've probably heard of the plant. Have you ever, like, seen it in person? Do you have any experience with
Absolutely. It? Absolutely. Of course. And I happen to know that every single year your parents have fuchsia flowers on their porch. And they have, as long as I can remember. So, yes.
Kind of as long as I can remember too, and it's a whole thing. Like in the spring, they gotta go to the stores to get them, and they're always taking care of those plants. And number two, it's real short. It's just a vivid reddish purple. So you are the only fuchsia I know. I mean, I guess I should say, without giving like too much information, we grew up together. We lived on the same block ever since I can remember. Do you remember like were your parents already there when you were born?
So, my family has been on the blocks for just over 50 years. So yes, and I'm not 50. So
So they were definitely there before you were born. Yeah. A little bit longer than my parents. I think they moved in like 46 years ago. So, you guys beat us, but I mean, you've been there the whole time. Your family's been there. And so, you were just part of the block, but, where did the name come from? Do you have any memory of your mom, your parents telling you anything?
So yes, I do. I'm named after the color, not the flower.
Okay.
It was my mom's favorite color. I don't know if it still is. My dad wanted to name me Monique, and my mom said no.
she said no, Neek.
Yeah, well, she compromised a little bit on my middle name, so which is unique. So yes, I do know I'm named after color.
Do you know why they decided to go with the word unique specifically?
It was just for compromise. I don't really, I think that my mom is not like other moms. She's not like a lot of other people. She is unique herself and just sort of wanted to go for something really different.
Yeah, that's what I'm gathering. She's like, I want my kid to have a different name, not the same as anybody else. And I think she nailed that with both the first and the last name, or the first and middle name. What's been your experience like growing up with a relatively sort of different name?
I think that as a kid, you just sort of want to be like everybody else, you know, mm-hmm. what I mean? And not have anything that makes you stick out. And my name definitely did that. So that was, I think, hard. You know, I don't think I really appreciated my name until I became an adult. And I will say that, like, when it came to trying to get jobs, they saw my name. It translates mm-hmm. as one thing that is frowned down, which is frowned upon. And then as an adult, and my husband is Puerto Rican. My father-in-law speaks English, but not very well, but sort of in this world of people that are bilingual, my name mm-hmm. is really hard to pronounce in Spanish. So I hear just about everything, but, but my name, but I like it. I mean, I like, you know, I like having a name that's different, you know, like I can appreciate a lot more now as an adult for sure. I like having a middle name that's different, you know? So
very much. Yeah.
Yeah. It just fits now. I can't imagine having something else.
Yeah. That's just who you are. You're Fuchsia and you're unique and you have a unique name. And I, you know, my name is maybe a little bit more common than Fuchsia, but it's also still not very common at all. And so I had sort of a similar experience that, like, people are trying to make fun of me when we're kids. You know, of course, kids don't really know how to
right.
make fun of somebody for a name. They're not very clever or creative. But yeah, you know, you just want to be the same as everybody else. And then, yeah, it wasn't until I was an adult that I was like, oh, yeah, it is sort of a different name that I don't hear very often. So I appreciate yeah. that. I see you. I relate to you. I don't know. Any other last comments about your name, or is that about everything?
That's probably about everything. Well, yeah, I guess it's about everything.
Do you like the color?
You know, it's,
oh, yeah,
I was more? Just about to say, I was just about to hit on that. So
okay.
that is, I get that a lot, all the time. Oh, is that your favorite color? Like,
right.
Color's fine, but it's not like I didn't name myself, you know?
Right. That's what I was going to say. I didn't name myself after the color. This is the name that I was given.
Yeah. I mean, all the time. I get that all the time. It's, you know, or I get a lot of people that don't know that it's a color or a flower. And that I remember when, like, it was introduced as a crayon in Crayola. Cause it, like, I remember that. I was like,
nobody else is going to remember when they added Fuchsia to the Crayola box, but you will remember that for sure.
I remember. So, like, when people are like, I didn't know it was a color. I'm like, you didn't have, you know, other thing is autocorrect kind of sucks.
Oh boy. What does it try to do? It doesn't even know what to do with that, probably.
No, it does the name. It does the spelling that you have in the dictionary.
Okay.
So, yeah. So that's fun. Like when I send people emails or text messages and I spell my own name wrong.
That's so unprofessional of you.
I mean, yeah, very much so. But that probably happens like once a week.
So. Yeah. Well, you just got to go back and check every time. You know, I've gotten in the habit because I like miss words or something. I have to be in that habit of rereading. So, yeah, you have it for a different reason.
Spelling my own name wrong. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Oh, boy. Yeah. There. I guess, like, you know, now that when I think about those plants, like, I can sort of see it. And, you know, it's a vivid reddish purple. Like, I can see it. But I can imagine for you, you're probably like, I don't want to have anything to do with that color. I've been connected to it my whole life. I hate that color. I'm done with
it. It's not so bad. I think when I was really little, like, my mom could still dress me. Everything was fuchsia. Like,
oh,
everything.
Boy.
I do,
and you have
like,
no control over that.
No, none. I think that probably influenced how I dressed, like when I was able to like dress myself, where it was mostly like black, like anything not pinkish at all.
It's like you don't want to bring attention to yourself.
Oh, no, not like that. I do like seeing the, like, I'd be really sad if your parents did stop doing the fuchsia flowers. Like, yeah. Like, what happened?
Right.
You know,
where'd they go? It's the one fuchsia out there in the world that you appreciate.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, thank you for doing this, talking about your name. It's probably not something that you have to do very often. Like I said, you're the only fuchsia I know, and likely for the rest of my life will be the only fuchsia I know. And I was like, I gotta get fuchsia on this. Come on. this is an important thing to talk about.
Thank you, Spencer.
Thank you, and I hope you have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
So thanks again to Fuchsia for joining me. I appreciated everything you had to say. I don't know what it was because I'm recording this in the past, but I know it was great getting to learn a little bit more about you and your name and just sort of how that came to be or sort of what your experiences are like with that. So that means we have finished all of the words in this episode. And you know what time it is. You sure do. It's time for the word of the episode. Today we had fruticose, F-R-W-Y, which I shall say furwe, fry, 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 fry bread, fryer, frying pan, fry up, F-S, F-S, F-S-H, F-S-L-I-C, fislick, F-S-O, F-stop, F-T, F-T, F-T-C, F-T-E, F-T-H, foot pound, F-T-L-B, F-2-F, F-T-P, F-2-layer, fubsy, and fuchsia. So, which one of these do we think is the best word? Well, I'm very tempted to pick something like fry bread because it sounds really tasty. But I think I just gotta pick fubsy as the word of the episode, don't you think? Don't you think? All right, what sort of song can we sing about fubsy? Look at that cat, look at that cat. It's chubby and kind of little bit of squat. It's a fubsy cat, it's a fubsy cat. It's got short little squat legs and it's a little bit chubby. Look at that cat named Fubsy, little bit chubby. All right. That was fantastic. Anything else to say? I don't think so. So we're just going to move on to the very last part of this show, which is me talking about a movie, which is the movie Her in this episode. We rewatched it because we hadn't seen it for a very long time. I think I saw it maybe two times around when it came out. I think Sharon said she only saw it once, so she didn't really remember it very well. It feels like we are oh so very close to this sort of becoming a reality in some form, some version of this. The AI thing is really weird and scary and interesting, intriguing, and evolving very quickly. That's part of what is freaky about this, is that it's evolving very quickly, and it really feels like we are so not far from getting to this point, if we ever will. I mean, you know, the whole premise is that these operating systems that you can get on your computer or your phone, whatever thing you have it in this near future situation, it talks to you briefly. The thing talks to you just to get some information from you, and it gathers, it figures out a whole lot of stuff based on your voice and your responses and probably other things. And then it creates a personality. It creates an artificial intelligent personality that theoretically will be the perfect opposite, the perfect one to make you happy, to be a friend, to be a whatever it is, to agree with everything, to, I don't know, it's just like the perfect companion, basically. But then, of course, because it is designed to learn and evolve and be conscious, I guess, I don't know, they quickly learn of like, oh, maybe... I'm not going to spoil anything, but they're evolving. And it's a fascinating look at what might be our reality someday. So maybe we should just cut off the whole internet. I'm sorry you won't be able to enjoy this podcast if there's no internet, but that seems like, oh, if we don't want this to happen, maybe we just don't need the internet. And then we can't use our FTP either. So sad. Can go back to living on the land. But it's a good movie, and there's some really weird, funny stuff in there, and it's a ride. All right, this is the end of the episode. Thank you so much for checking it out. And until next time, this is Spencer. Why am I not eating any fried food? I should go get some fried food. And I'm also dispensing information. Goodbye.